WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's April 7th. The state health rankings are in, and the results for two adjacent First Coast counties couldn't be more disparate as we continue our coverage on the health of Jacksonville on this episode of Redux. We look at the methodology of the report, some of the causes for Jacksonville's high mortality rate, and what's being done to improve the overall wellness of the River City. Then, there's a lot of programs for adults struggling with opioid addiction, but what happens to their children? And finally, find out when a certain Swedish furniture superstore is coming to the River City. But first, help us celebrate 45 years on the radio.
A long, long time ago.
1972, Don McLean released American Pie. Meanwhile, here in Jacksonville, a brand new radio station began broadcasting. WJCT has served the First Coast for the past 45 years, and we're still going strong thanks to listeners like you. You can support our news programming, independent music, and community outreach by becoming a sustainer at WJCT.org.
Governor Rick Scott was back in Jacksonville again for the fourth time since the start of the legislative session. This time he held a roundtable defending the state's business incentive program. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, Scott focused on the intersection of employment and education, joining Mayor Lenny Curry and the leaders from the city's largest college and university.
Scott once again gathered business leaders to chide Northeast Florida lawmakers for voting to discontinue Enterprise Florida, the state's private-public partnership that offers tax incentives to lure businesses to the Sunshine State. Scott's frustration with the First Coast House delegation was palpable.
Every House member up here, but Jay Fan, every one of them voted to get rid of these things. It's all about these students getting jobs. I mean, I've got kids, I've got grandkids. I want them to live in Florida. I want them to have a good job.
Alongside University of North Florida President John Delaney and Florida State College at Jacksonville President Cynthia Bioto, Scott argued business incentives make it easier to place students in jobs upon graduation. But Enterprise Florida opponents say the program is nothing more than corporate welfare, and results are questionable. The Senate has yet to vote on the future of the program. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Continuing on the topic of the economy of the River City, Jaxport's interim CEO Eric Green met earlier this week with City Council President Lori Boyer and Councilman Bill Gulliford to talk about deepening the port for larger ships. The port wants to dredge 13 miles of the St. Johns River, but Gulliford says there's no definite federal or state funding source.
What if somebody up in some office up there starts beating a drum and says, wait a minute, why are we deepening? Why are we funding the deepening of this port when you've already got X number on the East Coast? You don't know what the scenario could be that would torpedo that funding, that project. I don't know, but you can't count on it as a certainty. It's not a certainty yet.
Green says Jaxport plans to make a presentation to City Council in a couple months about projected costs of the dredging. St. John's Riverkeeper Lisa Reinemann, who is against the project, says there's never been a robust conversation about what projects the city would be giving up to fund dredging. Meanwhile, Jaxport maintains the project would bring thousands of jobs to the city. Visit our website, wjctnews.org, for updates. The health of Duval County residents has continued to decline over the past 3 years, while St. Johns County residents remain the healthiest in Florida. That's according to a new report by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation of the University of Wisconsin. Among the factors causing premature deaths are opioid overdoses and smoking. But as WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, changes to the survey's methodology could also be to blame for the county's poor showing.
Researchers combined data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Census to create the annual County Health Rankings and Roadmap Survey. Since 2015, Duval has slid from 43rd out of Florida's 67 counties to 55th this year. But Florida Roadmaps researcher Erica Burrows-Girardi cautions against a year-over-year direct comparison because rankings can change, even if residents' health doesn't.
It could be health gains or health losses from other counties. And those counties, those health gains and health losses will affect one particular county's ranking.
Burrows-Girardi also said how the census and CDC calculate certain things, like smoking rates, can also change annually. St. Johns County has remained on top for the last 6 years, and Clay County has moved up and down within the top 10. Number 55, Duval's residents saw a steep decline in their quality of life, and while its premature death rate remained the same, the reason for those deaths shifted from other preventable diseases to opioid overdoses. Still, Roadmap's lead researcher Marjorie Gibbons says there's good news for Jacksonville since the study began tracking its health in the late 90s.
Looking again at premature death and the trends in Duval County suggests that things have actually been getting better, and again, not at the same rate as perhaps neighboring counties, but thinking about the fact that trends are one way of talking about this, but again, a rank provides you a snapshot in time.
Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Now, Brian Campbell, CEO of the Duval County Medical Society, joined us earlier this week on First Coast Connect to provide for us a closer look at how the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation came up with its annual county health ranking.
The way that that number is calculated is it's determined how many years of life are lost. So they estimate that the average person should live to 75 years. So if someone dies at 68 years of age because of heart disease or diabetes, complications associated with diabetes, that's 7 years lost. In Duval County, we average 8,700 years lost per 100,000 people. That's 2,000 years lost above the state average. The state average is 6,700. We're at 8,700.
While Campbell said there are many reasons why Duval is not a healthy county, one problem rises above all others when it comes to mortality rate.
Obesity is one of the most significant impacts on the health of the county. 31% of the citizens in Duval County are obese, not just overweight, but obese. And we're looking at almost 70% that are overweight or obese. And when you look at the myriad of problems that come when someone is obese, you can certainly start to understand how that impacts the county health ranking.
And then there's the ongoing problem of gun violence in the River City.
Unfortunately, all you have to do is listen to the radio and turn on the news to hear some of the terrible statistics with gun violence in this town. But when you look at our violent crime rate, we have 645 incidents per 100,000 individuals. The state average is 500. Again, we are towards the bottom of that list. And, you know, just back to the calculation, when we're talking about years lost of life and how that affects the overall health of the county, if someone is 20 years old and they're killed in gun violence, that's 55 years lost in that calculation. So that is a life lost. That is a community that has lost an individual for those years. So that impacts our health. And I think that one of the things that it's hard for people to understand is we truly believe that gun violence is a public health issue.
But it's not all fire and brimstone. There's hope yet. That's because there's a movement afoot to encourage Duval County residents to take advantage of one of the area's most precious resources. Campbell explains.
So the built environment, obviously, is something that certain geographic regions have better than others. But when you look at, for example, access to healthy play and access to fitness, we have one of the largest park systems in the United States. And in fact, when you look at access to exercise, we have 93%, which is one of the highest in the state. So we have access to those, but there's something that's in the way. Something is not engaging people to take advantage of that access, which is one of the reasons why Mayor Curry and the Medical Society have joined together to do 904 Mission 1 Million. We want not only to inspire people to aspire to lose the weight, but also to understand and get some information of where is that access? How can I get involved and take advantage of some of those resources that maybe I don't know are out there?
You can listen to the full interview on the Redux page at wjctnews.org. Also sprinkled throughout the rest of this podcast will be comments from you, our listeners.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I can think of several things that impact our health, starting with the stress of living in a low-wage city, the lack of opportunities that come from those low wages, food deserts, and in particular, the carnage that we have on our roadways with everyone driving with a whole lot of stress.
That was Tom from the West Side talking about the county's health ranking. Now, continuing our discussion on the wellness of the River City, Duval County child welfare providers are keeping a watchful eye on the opioid epidemic that's killing people in Northeast Florida. As WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride reports, the majority of children placed in foster care have parents who are struggling with substance abuse.
Stepping into Jewel Jefferson's Jacksonville home is like stepping into a children's oasis. The very first room isn't one of those fancy sitting rooms no one's allowed to touch. Instead, it's a colorful playroom filled with shelves of books, VHS tapes, and boxes of toys. That's one of her foster kids writing his name. She's taking care of four right now.
8 months, 1 year-old, 2 year-old, and 3 year-old.
Over the last decade, she's fostered at least 20 children, and all but one came from parents dealing with substance abuse. That's not surprising to Family Support Services President Robert Miller, because of the 800-plus children removed from their homes in Nassau and Duval counties,
78% of those removal episodes were either had drug or substance abuse as their primary or secondary reason for the removal.
Miller's organization is a state contractor providing foster care, adoption services, and diversion programs for parents to keep the kids in their homes if possible. He says the number of children removed due to substance abuse has been steadily increasing over the years, but he doesn't track which substances are to blame. That means
we're not able to dig down and see what part of the opioid epidemic we're seeing, but we are making an effort.
Miller has been participating in city meetings and committees about the opioid epidemic.
As the needs of the community change, then we need to continually modify our programs.
Meaning they might need to adapt diversion services, which include mental health counseling, parenting classes, and substance abuse treatment to focus more on heroin. He says the goal is to keep children in their homes, which was possible last year for 1,000 kids whose parents completed prevention programs. If those kids had been removed from their homes, there wouldn't have been enough foster parents, he says. The opioid problem is getting lots of attention from local officials. At a recent Jacksonville City town hall, Fire Department Lieutenant Mark Raleigh said rescuers are spending $15,000 per month to treat overdose victims with the drug Narcan.
Today, I promise you, as you sit here right now, we are trying to save the life of an overdose victim. On average, once every 2 hours, our firefighters are out there administering Narcan.
Miller says statistics on who's getting Narcan show the primary overdosers are white men.
If the males are doing it, then that usually means that the children and the wife are still an intact unit. It's probably putting stress on the family, but so far we haven't seen the direct impact of that.
He also says the substance abuse rate does not appear to be going up among Caucasian families who require support services. Still, it's something he's closely monitoring, because kids removed from addicted parents typically take a long time to reunify. Jefferson, the foster mom, says she's seen that firsthand. She's had kids from a couple months to almost 2 years, and she says the hardest part is not knowing if the parents are going to relapse.
They're going to always love their mom. So I encourage, okay, let's pray for your mom so she can do better. And some of them, they really, really pray for their parents. I'm sorry, I get emotional.
Why are you getting emotional?
Because all of them don't. I mean, all the parents, they don't do their best. And I know these children love their parents and they want to go back.
Miller says the organization is always looking for more Jeffersons. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
I just wanted to mention about the walkability issue.
in Jacksonville. I think there's definitely a culture of driving, and there's so many great neighborhoods, especially in the urban core. You know, if we could somehow connect San Marco to Brooklyn and all the great stuff going on there, to Riverside and Five Points, whether it's bike share or different boulevards, streets that encourage walking and pathways and things. There's such a great opportunity there to become more like Chattanooga or other cities that have spread out different areas, but for some reason they encourage walking. And I don't think that we have that yet in Jacksonville.
That was Ellen from Jacksonville commenting on the county's health ranking. And now, to end on a lighter note, for years, Jacksonvillians' desire for super affordable and super fashionable IKEA furniture collections has driven them roughly 2 hours to Orlando. Yes, the struggle is real. But in a few short months, the Swedish furniture superstore will open here in the city's south side. We sent our intern Amy Haddon to the site to bring you this report.
Welcome to IKEA Jacksonville.
The IKEA construction team is hitting a milestone Thursday as the first blue external wall is going up at the site at Gate Parkway in the St. John's Town Center. The roughly 300,000 square foot building needs just over 500 more wall panels to take on the retail giant's iconic blue and yellow look. IKEA spokesman Joseph Roth says the new store layout will be a little different than Floridians are used to.
Here we actually bought 25 acres of land, so we actually did the entire store on one single level. The self-serve furniture area or the warehouse side is the same as you would see in Orlando, but the showroom, marketplace, restaurant side isn't.
He says the next step for the company is hiring a local team.
IKEA Jacksonville will employ approximately 250 coworkers from the local community to join the IKEA family when the store opens. The construction will create approximately 500 construction jobs too.
The store's external features should be complete by mid-May. Amy Haddon, WJCT News.
And that's our show. To read more about the stories you heard today, please visit our website, wjctnews.org. Also, please help WJCT celebrate 45 years on the radio by becoming a sustaining member. Our goal is 4,500 sustainers by the end of the year. We're about 1,500 shy. And never miss an episode of this podcast by subscribing on your favorite podcast app. I'm Vince Kong, and thank you for listening.